Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And I hope that you are able to hear me this morning. And all good? Yes, maybe. Anyway, we are now meeting in beautiful Cambridge, Ohio, in the southeastern part of the state of Ohio. And there isn't really a Mid-Acts King James Bible Grace Church in the area, so we need to get the word out that we're meeting here and be able to encourage some saints to join us, along with you guys that's at our local assembly, and also just keep that in thought and prayer. Also, we have some prayer requests. Our dear sister Betty Watson is not doing too good in Maryville, Tennessee. And, you know, think of her. Sherry got to talk with her a little bit yesterday. Also, keep Walt and Wagner and Barb in mind that it's no fun getting older. You know, we look at our saints that's aging and our elders that's aging, and what they're going through, and it seems like, you know, that their life is really, really hard on them, and we can see that. As we know, we had some loved ones that passed, and that's and all. So let's just keep them in thought and prayer. Those that are feeling ill, those that are in discomfort, those who are struggling, and those that need to hear the glorious gospel, the grace of God, that's the light that shines in the heart, in the dark heart, that makes a difference. When you hear that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, that's what saves us. Faith cometh from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And we have the Word of God in front of us, and the authorized version of the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. And it's a complete Word of God, and we don't have to add to it or take away like Satan's attack did with Adam and Eve. And finally, when you do that, when you use other versions that you think you have the Word of God, it does contain the Word of God, by the way, but is it the inherent, infallible Word of God? So that's where you have to come to understanding that there's attacks on the Word of God. There's always been that. But when you stand on the Word of God that we have, then the attacks are going to come to you. So you don't have to go looking for them. You know, they'll come when you open your mouth and say, "I've got the inherent Word of God." Well, man wrote that. Well, he did not. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. So we need to think about that. Last week, we had a wonderful Bible meeting at the Dispensational Midsummer Bible Meeting. I didn't want to call it a conference, but it was a meeting that we had. And we had some wonderful saints there from just about all over. And had some wonderful teachings that you can see on our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. There's two tabs there, one for the audio if you just want to listen to the preaching, and one for the video if you want to see the singing and the whole hour that we've had there with them. With that being said, if you want to continue to support our ministry, you can do it by... if you want to check, you can send to P.O. Box 592 in Cambridge, Ohio, 43725. You can also go to our website and push the donate button, and do that way. Or next time you see me, you know, you're welcome to come here, and we still have a box back there in the back. You'll pass and go. So I know that if you're listening to it for the first time, we always say this: if you're being fed, then you give. So if you're not being fed, then I want you to stay anyway and learn and grow with us. Sometimes when we teach dispensational teachings, it is strange doctrine to many ears. And you're like, "I've never seen that in the Bible before. And I never seen that." Well, it's been in there. It really has. We have to take the blinders off and look at the Word of God. And when I said earlier, I said we study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, For all scriptures are given by God, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. I butchered that a little bit. But the Bible's own way, and the Bible has a way to understand the Word of God, and it's in 2 Timothy 2:15. It's the only verse that tells you how to study and what to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. The whole Bible is truth, guys. It's truth from cover to cover, kiver to kiver, like they say down home. But we need to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We don't play Russian roulette with the Bible. You don't pick and choose what verses you have. So it makes it understandable when you look at the Word of God and understand what God was doing in times past, what He's doing in but now, and what He's doing in ages to come. And the whole Bible will open up, okay? That's how you study the Word of God rightly divided. So keep that in thought and prayer as we continue to stand for truth and find a flag of truth in the Word of God. I don't think I have any more announcements to make, but we do appreciate you tuning in today. The audio and video will be up on our website soon, probably by the end of the day. But anyway, keep our other saints that are not here today, that sometimes it's hard for them to travel. And also, we had a surprise visit last night. We was at the campground watching people sing karaoke type of thing, and I looked around. I seen this girl hugging Sherry, and when it's kind of dark, you kind of like everybody's campground and stuff, and it was Erica. So she came up to visit with us today, or for a couple of days. So we're going to spend some time with her today, and that was kind of exciting. So she's here at the compound for a while. But anyway, just keep her in thought and prayers too. That she's always needing prayers, just like we do. So, mom and dads and type of thing. I don't care how old you are, and when you're a parent, you're always going to worry about your kids. And you know, I think about my mom sometimes. How you know, wonder how she sit there all them years thinking about all her kids growing up and having kids and what she was going through. But, you know, she had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, anyway, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about our prayer requests and praise items and the things that's on our heart and mind, Lord, that we may be able to lift them up to you, you tell us in doing so it gives us peace. And, Lord, that's what many of us are needing today is just a peace of mind. And when we can just lay it all on you and you tell us to focus on you, then that gives the burden off our backs and it puts it on you. And that way we can go and continue to be who we are freely in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we think about to continue a Daniel study, we may be able to glean something from it, what Daniel was looking at in ages to come. And sometimes you can think about what we're looking at in the nasty now and now. But Lord, as we continue to study, we ask that we have a clear mind and clear understanding of what you say in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 11. We're in lesson 65, by the way. Daniel chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir all against the rim of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up, and that shall rule with great dominion, and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven, and not to his prosperity, nor according to his dominion which he rule. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those." Now remember, when we studied Daniel chapter 7, we saw that there are things in Daniel chapter 7 that has to take place before that Antichrist shows up and is made manifest. And therefore, there are things that has to take place at the 70th week of Daniel Daniel chapter 9 begins. We already looked at that a little bit. We showed the gap between the 69 weeks and the 70th week. There's a gap in there. And Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 11 identifies these events that will take place for this time period. When Daniel was looking and saw this stuff, he didn't look at it that way as we was talking about this gap period. Daniel did not see the break in perspective in verses 3 and 4 that we read. It's still future from Daniel, because Daniel was at the end of captivity here, and he'd been there for 70 years. And Daniel just, you know, we understand today what this break is in the Word of God. Daniel didn't have that break. He didn't foretold that break. The mystery program in which we live in today was hidden God before the foundations, before the world began. And it was not made known until it was made known to Apostle Paul. We talked about that before. But as far as Daniel's concerned, what was supposed to happen was the things that right over here, when Daniel was looking at this time period over here, the crucifixion 69 weeks, and then the wrath was going to take place. Now, why is there a break there? And we're talking about a break, we're talking about this time period, but now we live in right now. We understand that that break is the mystery age. God has a twofold purpose: prophecy, mystery. Prophecy is talking about things that was spoken since the world began. Many people today, when you talk about prophecy, they will bend their ear to listen to you. They will buy books. They will make movies. They make all kinds of stuff. But when you talk about the mystery program, they think it's some kind of voodoo, mysterious type of thing, but it's not. It's not just poof, it happens, okay? This mystery program was kept secret since the world began. And we understand that the prophetic program has been interrupted. Okay, that's what the book of Acts is about, guys. When you look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, it starts out with Israel. And they ask the question, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Because Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry out here, he was teaching them about a kingdom. Well, that didn't happen. And the first question they asked in verse 6 is, when will you restore it? That's what they're looking for. And by the way, when all that havoc was taking place, they stayed in Jerusalem. Why? Because that's the great city of God. That's where God was coming back to. Then you get always, you know, amid Acts is rising up Apostle Paul. And then by Acts 28, Israel's diminished. They have fallen. And we need not forget the word interrupted, because the prophetic program has been set aside. And it has, and we today in the dispensation of grace. And by the way, you need a King James Bible to even see the word dispensation. The other Bibles will take that out, leave it out, because they don't like it. Satan don't like it, and it means a dispensing. You know, you're going. God's dispensing grace today. He's not dispensing law. And then we live in the parentheses right here today. And that's where we're at, and that's the dispensation of grace of God. That's the break in between the prophetic program and the mystery program. Now, with that being said, what I'd like to encourage you to think is, God had this mystery program in Him, hid in Him, long before the prophetic program was in place. Now, it might be hard for you to believe, but it is. Because that's very, very important to us dispensationalists to understand what God is doing that way. It has been held up, the Daniel's program, the law program. And then there's another age has been executed today. We understand that when we're taken out of here, the catching away, the rapture of the church, but by the way, you can only find in Paul, the body of Christ, God goes back dealing with the nation Israel over here. So if I had this closed up, you would see this continuation over here, but this is not there. So when we're taken out of here, God goes back to this program that Daniel was looking at over here. So that's why it's very, very important to understand what Daniel is doing. And we understand today that the kingdom has been postponed. When Christ came, when he came in his incarnation and his resurrection, he offered the kingdom to Israel. And what did they do? Praise God, hallelujah, the king's here. Let's get on with the program. No, they rejected him. So God's response and his rejection was, should have been the wrath being poured out on Israel and the nations. But he postponed that. And he's got a new age, a dispensation of grace, which Daniel didn't know about it. And if I can't say this enough, that what I'm about to say, I hope it really helps you. Daniel didn't know what God was doing in the dispensation of grace. Daniel was very wise. Who is wiser than Daniel outside of God? Satan is. Satan didn't know about this program. And that's why he hates you when you study the Word of God right and divided. He hates the fact that God's going to take this mystery program, this body of Christ, and takes us out of here and puts us in the heavenly places where Satan is the prince of power of the air. He has dominions up there, and we're going to rule and reign in those positions. He hates that, Satan does. But he's also a father of lies. He's denying this. But what he can do is he can attack you, and he can send winds of doctrines against you, and he can make you think, well, I don't want to believe this. I want to believe this over here. So the things you got to think about when because God foresaw the proponent of the kingdom program in Acts, and he held the events and led up to the rise of the Antichrist. If God didn't postpone the kingdom program, the Antichrist would be here. You understand that? He's not here. And if Daniel chapter 9 had carried itself on out, the Antichrist would have showed up in 35 A.D. And the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is where the end of the 69 weeks is at. And then there's a gap, and then the Antichrist would be here in the 70th week. There's still a small gap, and we talked about that if you want to go back in several lessons. God in his foreknowledge, that's who God is. He saw the events that was going to take place, and he knowed Israel's response towards his son wasn't positive, okay? And even if they witnessed the Spirit of God and withheld the events, he withheld the events of the Antichrist. You know, that's sometimes what a father does, isn't it? Father will foresee some things that you're going to do, and he tries to protect you, and he tries to head you off. Now, you know, sometimes we think about the kids today, they couldn't care less. They're still going to do what they want to do. You ever notice that? You didn't do that, though, did you? You didn't rebel against your mom and dad and all that stuff. Sure you did. Sure you did. We have that nature in us. And the events that had to take place before the Antichrist can appear in this prophetic program has not happened yet, guys. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Here's an illustration of this, what we're talking about here. Matthew chapter 3 is talking about John the Baptist as an illustration. Okay? Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and leather girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey." Now, the voice crying in the wilderness is a quote from Isaiah chapter 40. And it's said to be John the Baptist, okay? Now, Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then saith the scribes that Elias must first come? Elias is the Greek spelling of the Hebrew word Elijah. Okay, he said, why did the prophets say Elijah must come first before the kingdom shall come? That's what the question was. Verse 11. And Jesus answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, meaning desired. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of who? John the Baptist. Now remember back in Luke chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter 1. Stay there in Matthew. Get Matthew chapter 11 and get Luke chapter 1. Forgot to see what time I started, but we'll be okay. Luke chapter 1. If you remember this, Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and they shall call his name John. Thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and everybody shall rejoice at his birth. Many shall rejoice at his, not all, many. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, we know what John the Baptist did. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. And the angel told John's father that John will become in the power, a spirit and the power of who? Elijah. There's the connection. Now, who is John the Baptist? Matthew chapter 3 says he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He is a messenger coming to my temple, God's temple. That's Elijah in Isaiah chapter 40 and Malachi chapter 3. Now Jesus says Elijah has come. And he said, I'm talking about John the Baptist. Luke 1 says that he comes in the spirit of power Elijah. Now, come with me to Matthew chapter 11. Now, it's something that when John the Baptist, I share this with you all the time, when John the Baptist come on the scene, God the Father sent him. Okay? God the Father, he's a representation of God the Father. He did not go to downtown Jerusalem and belly up with all the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious people down there. He's standing outside of Jerusalem at the River Jordan, and he's calling out. That's why he says many. Many did come there, right? Not all. And if you understand what he says in Luke, he's talking about all of Jerusalem and Judea was baptized of him, except the Pharisees and lawyers who rejected the counsel of God. Well, that's not all of Israel. See, that's what who did the Lord Jesus Christ come for all of Israel? Okay, he says, I come for nobody, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, there was people in there already saved that's following them, but there's also lost people. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. See if we can get an answer to this. Matthew 11, 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he is the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by what? Force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if, underline it, if ye will receive it, receive the kingdom in verses 11 and 12, this Elijah, which was for to come. See that? So God knew Israel was not going to receive the kingdom. You with me? That's why he came in the spirit of him. Now, so instead of sending the person Elijah himself, who is to come personally in the second coming over there of Christ and the kingdom, God, knowing that Israel would not receive the kingdom, foreseeing it, sent not Elijah himself personally, but he sent who? And who? John the Baptist. Thank you. And to come and do what Elijah would do. See, I am totally convinced, as ignorant that I was, and ignorant I still may be, and all ignorant is, the root word of ignorant is what? Ignore. Okay, you put blinders on, ignore. There was people in the Bible, in times past, understood what God was doing. Daniel started understanding some things. So those people, when the Lord John the Baptist showed up, they knew exactly what he was talking about. When the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Today, we, as Bible believers, can know and understand what God is talking about today. Okay, you don't have to be ignorant. You can make decisions based on who you are in Christ Jesus today. We don't get tossing to and fro and all that stuff. There's another prophet that's supposed to become. I said that because when we're taken out of here, there's going to be a group of people over here who know exactly what God is doing, and that's what we're going to be looking at in a little bit. There's another prophet that was supposed to come before the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he's not named, identified in the Old Testament, but he's called the prophet likened to Moses. Who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And the prophet likened to Moses. So you have Moses and Elijah showing up before the second coming of Christ, the two witnesses in the tribulation, and the last names in the book of Malachi and in the Old Testament. Listen, here's the point which we're trying to get to. God foresaw the postponement of that kingdom program. And foreseeing it, then rather than sending Elijah, he sent John. And if God had known Israel was going to receive the kingdom, guess who would have sent? Elijah. Okay? I can understand that. You know, because they're going to show up over there. But God knew they weren't going to show up over here. That's why it's very, very important to understand the mystery program, what God was doing before the world began. He had this planned before he had the other stuff planned. Okay? If you can just get that today, man, the whole Bible's going to open up for you. The understanding of what God is doing and stuff, it's just remarkable. Amen? It really is. Now, and it is in the same way of Daniel chapter 11 and the other prophecies. Foreseeing that Israel was not going to receive the kingdom, God withheld some events. God would break in, and what he's talking about is a place where he was going to break in before the Antichrist got there. Okay? Listen, consider this. We done looked at some of the events. If I'm not jumping ahead a little bit, I probably am. If I repeat myself, then you just say bless your heart. But look, think about this for a second. You cannot understand the prophetic system in the Bible unless you understand the mystery program. That's what I'm trying to say. They will eat this prophecy up and they will skip right over what God is doing today and jump right over and say we're the Antichrist is here. That type of thing. We talked about presidents in the past in the United States of America, and no matter who was in there, people would call them the Antichrist. That type of thing. I just shake my head at that, guys. You know, listen, if there's anything we need to understand today, is that Christ died for our sins with burial and rose again, almost 2,000 years ago. He paid a sin debt so we will never be eternal separated from God Almighty. He places us in the body. He gives us a book of understanding, and we study that to understand the times that we're in. You know, we talk about textbooks all the time. If you're studying to be a lawyer, you don't go to a science book. You know, we talk about reading newspapers, okay? When you look at the sports section, you don't go to the stock market or obituaries. Now, if you go to political section, you might go to the funny page, that type of thing, but I'm just jokingly, but you don't... Way you read your newspaper, you're dispensationally consider those things, okay, where they're in place. You need to understand that too. And you cannot understand the Old Testament without understanding the book of Revelation in the New Testament. It's an outline upon which all the events of the 70th week will take place over here, of Daniel at place. And you cannot understand the book of Revelation in the New Testament unless you understand the mystery program right here. Listen. There's some people, when we were talking about starting the book of Daniel, they were so excited about it, and because they were thinking, we're in that time right now. But I know they're starting to see and have seen that, wow, Daniel's is a really exciting book, you know. And we can learn, as grace believers, we can really understand some things in Daniel that Daniel really couldn't understand now. But to understand what God is not doing in the dispensation of the law or the kingdom is very, very important. Now, it is critical for us to understand what God has done with the prophetic program today. See, we as dispensationalists, we can boast in us the fact that we know what God is doing in the mystery program, but you need to know that this prophetic program, that what God is going to do over there, is suspended. Okay? And that's why there's a break in the passages, and the break takes place between verses 4 and 5 in the book of Daniel. Now, we're back in the book of Daniel, right? Yes. Okay? And we saw historically that the head of the goal was Babylon. And the chest and the arms was Media Persia, two kingdoms in one. And then the belly and the thighs of brass was the kingdom of Greece. Now there are two legs historically. We identify those legs as supposedly Rome. But when you begin to realize Rome was only one kingdom. But there's two legs. He's not a one-legged man. You know what I mean? He's got two legs standing on. And the commentaries say those legs are Eastern and Western division of Rome. And the commentators say that the first coming of Christ took place at the feet. But to think about this for a second, historically, that's the way that things work out. But prophetically, from Daniel's point of view, Daniel never brought up or thought about the Roman Empire. He identifies Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece in chapter 2 and chapter 8. But when you come to chapter 11, he identifies two kingdoms that come out of Greece, which is what the image does, and the legs comes out from the belly and thighs, just like we're standing here. And legs come out of Greece. And he identifies two kingdoms that come out of Greece in verses 4 through 6 as the northern kingdom, or the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south. And those kingdoms are the kingdoms to which the feet are attached. And the feet are the Antichrist kingdom. So if you lay that body out from Daniel all the way over here, that's what it's looking like, from the head to the feet. It's actually, evolution goes from the ground up, right? It's de-evolution. It starts from the head going down. Verse 5, Daniel chapter 11, verse 5. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes. And he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of the years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given him, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and their precious vessels of silver and gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land. Now notice, the king of Egypt takes the initiative and goes against the king of the north, Syria, we already looked at. And he gains victory over him. You get the details of a family intermarriage and those things like that. That's what the details is. Notice the exact details of the political disturbance in Palestine. And the reason all this stuff is given is in chapter 11, verse 33. It says, "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. And yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by captivity and by spoil many days." There will be people in that 70th week of Daniel over there, or prior to it, those Jewish saints who are going to understand what's going on here. See, that's why it's very, very important that God has a remnant of believers over there. God has the Word of God, Hebrews through Revelation, that those people are going to be able to take and be Bible believers and studiers, whether it's in their homes or under countries or in their synagogues, or whatever, and they're going to understand the time that they're in. And John chapter 2, 1 John 2 says, "You have the anointing that teaches you all things." He says, you understand all truth. You don't need anybody to teach you. You understand. That tells me what I need to know today, in a way. You have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. If you're saved today, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead is dwelling inside of you to help write this book, and you can understand these things. You know why you can't understand these things? Some of us? Pride. Okay, I don't want to believe that. Hey, there was a time in my life, I knew about Noah. I knew about the flood over the earth. But I was like, you know, I think he just flooded over there and where they was from. He didn't flood Glade Springs, Virginia. He didn't flood the two tallest mountains in the state of Virginia. That type of thing, okay? Well, he did. When you go up in the coal mines and you go up in there, 500-600 feet, even 1,500 feet, even a mile or two, and you see fossils that's up on top of mountains, okay? You know, as you pick, you know something catastrophic happened there. So I had to believe God's word. Listen, God's word settles it, okay? You know, your word, Ed word, God's word, that type of thing. Well, your word and Ed word, we can disagree, but the final authority is God's word. So they have the gift of knowledge and understanding, and they grasp these things. You can have that same understanding too by rightly dividing the word of truth. They're going to rightly divide the word of truth when it's really said and done. They will study their passages and be able to identify what's going on. Same thing with us, guys. We can understand through the mystery program in Romans through Philemon what God's not doing. That's helped me understand a lot of things. You ever noticed you tell people, don't do this and don't do that? What's the first thing they do? Especially a child. Don't put your hand over, you get burned. And they're smiling. Go ahead. Burn yourself. You know, but you tell some people what to do, they still rebel. They really do. I mean, like, hey, studied, consider this, study the Word of God, rightly divide it. Yeah, whatever. That type of thing. But look, you can have, they'll grasp these things. You can grasp these things. They will study these passages and be able to identify what's going on over here. And the details here are giving so that they will be able to observe the events and take place and identify the advent of the Antichrist, his rise and progress and his history, and that kind of economy in the tribulation period. Now, grant you, out there in the world today, you see what's going on. You know, you got the thing in your mind, you're thinking, well, we're leading up to it. Well, very, very well could be, but still the Antichrist is not here. There's still some things that has to take place before that takes place over there. So the main thing is, as you know what was very, very nice? Last weekend, I think from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I took off from work. I don't think I turned to news media on. You know, and I know Brother Ben mentioned in his, you know, he talked about for 10 days he didn't listen to media. And his mind started clearing up. And you start thinking differently and focus. But the minute you turn that TV on or XM radio or radio and you hear something, and it's very disturbing. You get back on social media and you see all this stuff. The same stuff was there 10 days ago. Okay? The same stuff, if you got Facebook, you can go back a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. The same things that are being said against the President of the United States and they're saying 4 years ago. The tactics never change. Okay? But you need to understand the times that we live in. We're in the times of the Gentiles. There's nothing pleasant going on. As much as we love the green grass of home and all that stuff and smelling the flowers and eating fruit and all that, I'm right with you. But there's something much better in this life. Luke chapter 21. Hold your finger in Daniel, Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress the nations, with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. They will be able to look around and see things taking place and know where they're at in God's plan. Now, has that happened today? Listen, if anything, you don't, we looked up the stars the other night and just sit there, and they're beautiful, okay? And we have that Sky View app, and you can see where the stars and the planets and all that stuff is, and it tells you who they are. But they're not for signs for us, okay? They have been corrupted, if you know what I'm saying, verse 28. And you can't look at those signs and stuff and see that. Because when God comes back in that second coming, He rolls up that universe like a scroll and shakes all them bad apples down there, and it's going to tell a different story once we're out there, okay? Verse 28, and when these things began to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draw what? Nigh. He says, when you see the signs beginning to take place, then you look, begin to look up, because this is what's about to happen. Now, that administration is going to be one based on signs and understandings of political events. You can't look at that today and determine the signs of political events. But they're going to be able to. And that's what's not happening today, guys. We don't live in the times of signs and wonders and stuff like that, even though many of your religious people will. You know, we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. Okay? Jews require a sign. If you remember, the very first signs, the very first two signs that appeared to the nation Israel was when Moses stuck his hand in here and it came out like a baby hand, withered. One, and it stuck about like a baby. Then he threw down his staff and turned into a snake, a serpent, okay? Those two signs, when they saw that coming from their lawgiver, Moses, they're like, God's with us, okay? And they required signs all the way through, a pillar of smoke, pillar of fire. They required signs, and if they didn't get a sign from God, they didn't think God was with them. So here's God doing all this stuff to them, okay? You know, signs, everywhere signs, and all that stuff. We don't use that today. We should not use that today, okay? There's one sign you can point at, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ, okay? And so Mr. O'Hara, J.C. O'Hara, said one time, there are no signs of the times today because there are not the times of the signs. That's a good thing to say. And so when you think about that, and you're going to let those people know Daniel is, and are they able to identify the career that is taking place here, and that's what's happening. So when Daniel writes that, he's jumping over this period right here, and he's going over there, and he's instructing the believers over there, Israel, that, hey, there's going to be a time here, and this is how you identify this. Daniel chapter 11, verse 10. But his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, that's anger, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth great multitudes, but the multitude shall be given into his hands. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000, but he shall not be strengthened by it. Now the kings of the north and the south will go up against each other, and the king of the south shall wipe out the king of the north. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times many shall stand against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed. Now, notice that verse. What these people are fighting about is Palestine. You have Syria in the north, you have Egypt in the south, and what's between them? Palestine. And the king of the south and king of the north are fighting with each other to get possession over the land of Israel. And that territory is in the middle of between them. And they both want it. And it's no accident that the Antichrist winds up putting his headquarters there in Jerusalem in a temple. Okay? Where's the city of the great gods going to be? Cambridge, Ohio, right? Virginia Beach. Jerusalem, Israel. Listen, when Joshua was getting ready to go into the promised land, there was several ites in there. Okay? And there's some very strongholds of Satan's armies in the earth there. These was not too pleasant people. And God told Joshua, when you go in, wipe them all out. Destroy them all. Pitchers, green trees, hills, hedges. Destroy them all. Take care of all. They didn't do that. So when they went into the promised land, it didn't flow with milk and honey. It just caused more problems. So that area is still in control by the God of this world. Okay? And verses 17-18a says, "He shall also set his face to the inner with the strength of his whole kingdom, and the upright ones with him, thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be before him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. Now the king of the south defeats the king of the north, and the king of the north comes back and finally defeats the king of Egypt and takes over from him and wins a complete victory with him. Then in verse 18, he begins to turn his face towards the isles and shall take many. But after he takes over Palestine, he beats up the king of Egypt. And he looks out to the Mediterranean and says, let's go and get some of that. And when he does, he gets stopped. Verse 18. But the prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. He will stop him. Without his reproach shall he cause it to turn upon him. He will go out and not lose. Let's go down to 19:20 right quick. Then he shall turn his face towards the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. And he goes back home, and the battle's over. Then shall stand up in the estate of a riser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. What this guy comes up in verses 20 is the fourth kingdom, king of the north, who we passed in this chapter, and there have been of them up to this point. Now there is one in verse 6 and the other one in verse 7. There's one in verse 11 and fourth one in verse 20. And it's important to notice because the next verse, 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. That's who you think that is. The Antichrist. So the Antichrist is the fifth king of the north. And when we get over to in Revelation, that will be important. But just to notice it now. Okay, I'd like to stop right there because next week we're going to pick up some things about the son of perdition and the man of sin and what Paul was writing the second letter to Thessalonians to tell them about that. You know, I told you about these things because the book of Thessalonians is talking about the catching away and the people there was like, hey, it's already happened. And he said, no, it's not happened. I told you these things. So let's go to a word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And we ask as we continue to think of who we are in Christ Jesus today, that we can understand that there is a lost and dying world out there that needs to hear the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Let us be faithful and continue to teach that and preach that and make all men see what is fellowship and mystery. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for tuning in. You can go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org for our messages that will be here today. And once again, have a great day in Christ, and we'll see you this time next week.